It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Gotta Get Shots YouTube channel and podcast. And we are here with another match preview as we get ready to welcome Wolverhampton Wanderers to St James's Park on Saturday afternoon at the crazy time of 3 o'clock in the afternoon as 10th place Newcastle United take on 9th place Wolves in the Premier League. We're 1 point behind them and we're going to crack straight into it. But I'm first going to introduce you to Joe and Nickel, and we'll start with Joe. How are you doing, Joe?
Doing well, mate. Oh, God, when you say 10th place, it doesn't seem that long ago we were still in like the top six, seven, does it? Or at least hanging about there. Ooh, Jesus, 10th. But to be fair, it's still really tight, isn't it? No, I'm doing well. Obviously, Blackburn, I mean, as much as you can argue the game itself had a lot of issues. I mean, being there, you know, in person, and I think the atmosphere in the first half was actually really good then before people got frustrated and everything. But it was great. It was great. Really looking forward to seeing how the lads bounce back from what was a little bit of a, you know, iffy performance on Tuesday. I mean, we still got through, but what can you say? So, no, I'm doing good, mate. Doing good. Looking forward
good. Now, I'm going to assume that you probably got back sooner than all of us because of your location.
Yeah, no, I can't really complain. I only took just over an hour to get back.
Just like, over an hour.
Just after 12:30, I got back from Blackburn, so I can't really complain too much.
Well, I got back just around about the 2 o'clock mark. Nickel, what time did you get back, mate?
I was more towards 3, but I had to drop a couple of mates off, and I was also on a
back. Ah, right.
Back, so, you
know. In God's work, mate.
Yeah, I was there the other night as well, as I said on the reaction, and relieved was the word to get through. Mm. But obviously after last night's draw, was it even worth all that stress?
Yes, man, we're going to do it. Oh, ye of little faith.
You're very optimistic about it. And to be honest,
I'm going to be the line, to be honest with you, Chris.
I'm going to try and go down, and we'll hopefully get a big allocation and we'll give it a right good go.
I should imagine that we will do, yeah. Right, so before we crack on with things, boys, we're just going to hear a quick word from our sponsor even. And it's the wonderful guys and gals at Magpin.
The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com.
Thank you very much for that one, Scott. Oh, look at what he's got there.
Look at that. Look at that. That is beautiful.
How lovely is that, man?
That's all me needs. Stunning.
Absolutely stunning. Right, so slight change to how we would normally do this. I know Scott normally has a set running order, so I'm going to jump in straight away, and we're going to talk about the last time that we played Wolves. Played them in the reverse fixture earlier this season down at Molineux back in October, late October, and we played them, and it was a 2-2 draw. Wilson opens the scoring on 22 minutes, followed by an equaliser by Mario Lemina on 36. That's followed by the highlight of the game just before half-time, and it was a debatable foul on Fabian Schär by Hwang, which led to a penalty. VAR decided, after a lengthy review, that it should stand. Callum Wilson converts that penalty, puts 2-1 up at the break, and then midway through the second half, Hwang himself goes from zero to hero by grabbing an equaliser for Wolverhampton Wanderers, and that game ends 2-2. And then, obviously, we have the reverse fixture. Not the reverse fixture, but the last time at St James's last season. And that was last March. So just shy of a year ago now, on a Sunday afternoon. And that was a 2-1 Newcastle United win. Alexander Isak opened the scoring in the first half, converting a Kieran Trippier free kick with a great header. To be honest, we probably should have gone in at half-time a little bit more than 1-0 up. Again, Hwang comes in to equalise midway through the second half. Again, 70th minute. And then just a few minutes later, you've got Miguel Almirón and Joe Willock combining to get a winner there for Miguel Almirón. The Wolves' record at St. James's Park, if we have a quick look at that, it's all competitions, so I'm including Premier League. We have two championships / Division 1 games, and we also have a League Cup tie. It's 11 games in total, and we have 5 wins, 4 draws, and 2 defeats. Last defeat at the hands of Wolves at St. James's was a 2-1 loss all the way back in the 2018-19 season. Jose Perez, just like the last time we played Arsenal before Saturday, with the goal in that game. So, it's quite a strong record at St. James's Park, boys. Do you reckon we'll continue that going forward?
Oh, you know what? It's funny, since the turn of the year, our away and home forms have almost kind of flipped. I don't think we've actually won a game at St. James's since Fulham back on the, what, 6th, 8th?
Yeah, it's December 16th, the last time we won it.
And obviously, obviously they were down to 10 men. We're still the better side, but, you know, it's slightly concerning. I mean, when you look at the way that the draws have come about, because obviously we drew 4-4 against Luton, we drew 2-2 against Bournemouth, having to come back in both them fixtures. It's very much unlike the team that we're used to seeing last season. We've banged this doldrum so many times. But having said that, if I'm going to spin that into a positive, it's encouraging to see us come back from those kind of deficits. And, you know, for all that we've conceded a hell of a lot of goals, we've actually been scoring so many as well. I think it's like 16 in the last 6 games or something daft. It's, you know, we are scoring for fun when we can. The problem is when we play teams again, like the likes of, you know, Blackburn, who have that sort of really low line block, are really compact in the midfield and don't give our midfield any of that time and space to go about. I mean, Longstaff, less said the better on Tuesday. But when you go against some Premier League sides who actually play a bit more expansive football and who are a bit more confident to attack, I think that's when the opportunities actually arise, you know. So our home form's still really good despite, you know, the patchy form at times. I think we've got a really good chance. And, you know, we're going to speak about Wolves' injuries in a little bit and the fact that we've got some returning of our own. I think the tide could be changing between the two teams. So I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah. Nicol, you've been looking at Wolves. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so Wolves tend to play with 3 at the back and then 2 wing backs. So they typically would play 3-4-3 or 3-4-2-1 with Bueno and Semedo as the wing backs. They like to get forward and then obviously tuck in when they're out of position. Their key strength is really transitional attacks, so on the break. So we're going to have to watch out for that, not leave ourselves too exposed. They've got a bit of pace up front as well with Neto. Cunha's injured, which is obviously a positive for us, and we'll get onto their injuries. But they're very versatile sort of team, I would describe them as. They've got a lot of players who can play in different positions, and they've got some dangerous players at the front end of the pitch, which can hurt us. So we're going to have to be wary. And I think, to be honest, we'll obviously get on to predictions as well, but I can see them get some goals as well. But I can also see us scoring as well. So might be another high scorer.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've mentioned there about their transitional strength in attack. And again, as Joe mentioned, we tend to struggle against the low block. And we probably will see some of that on Saturday. And again, that's probably going to pose as a threat. And we will have to be very careful not to overcommit, which we have been guilty of doing in recent games. You only have to go back as far as Nottingham Forest away when, you know, one of their goals directly came from the fact that the three midfielders had all pushed up and left that space and exposing the lads playing at the back. And, you know, again, we've had a few more days since that Blackburn game to iron out a few of the kinks in our armour. It's going to take, you know, there's a lot of pressure riding on this game because we have a couple of games now in this one against Wolves and then the next one away at Chelsea, where we're playing these teams around us, and we're just a point behind Wolves at the minute as things stand, and we're 2 points ahead of Chelsea. And again, you know, there's 5 teams now in this little bracket in the middle of the table, from 7th place Brighton down to Chelsea in 11th. We're all very closely knitted together at the moment, and if results can go our way at the weekend, we can end up top of that pile again, back in 7th place ahead of both Brighton and West Ham. So we've mentioned there, we've sort of hinted that Cunha is going to be out injured. Do we have any other injuries to be worried about or pleased about even for Wolves?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do, don't we? Well, I mean, to be fair, I think the only two of note are Hwang and Cunha. And lo and behold, they're by far the two top goal scorers for Wolves, 11 goals each. And below that, I think you've got, is it Lamina on like five? So, yep, that's right. So, in effect, you've essentially got the two top goal scorers almost certainly out. I think Hwang went off against Brighton midweek, and apparently the quote is that they would be absolutely amazed if he made Saturday. So I think it's probably safe to say that he's not going to make the game. So in terms of, you know, how that stifles their play, it's great for us. That's not to say that they're not going to be without their threats, obviously. You know, you've got Sarabia. He scored a couple. He seems to be really good getting those spaces between the defenders. And it's something that we've kind of looked at with Botman and Cher about how they can sort of switch off and, you know, allow that gap in between. So we've got to be careful there. Neto, I mean, he's been in the Premier League for a little bit now. We know what he's like. He's a dangerous player. So they've got pace. They've got plenty of midfield. I mean, the way that they pack the midfield, and it's like, what, like a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-2-1 that they play typically. Yeah. So they do pack the bodies in midfield, and you've got to be careful of that. But I think with them two out, you've got to fancy us to maybe not keep a clean sheet because we're leaking goals for fun, but to reduce the deficit as much as possible and hopefully do the Kevin Keegan approach of you score three, we'll score four.
Yeah.
I don't think my heart will be able to take that, man, Joe, are we?
All right, well, that's not necessarily what I think is going to happen, but, you know.
Yeah, I think...
As long as we win.
Yeah, I think Neto will be their danger man and main threat. I think he's one of them who the top teams are perhaps looking at this summer. He's one of them that's sort of the best player in a team that's sort of mid to low table. Kind of like Maxi was under Bruce for us and Zaha at Palace. I think he's going to be the main threat and one we're going to have to try and keep quiet the most.
Absolutely. So we'll move on from Wolverhampton Wanderers and we'll move into Newcastle United. And we'll start, actually, I would like to start on this one with injuries, because at the moment we're actually in quite a good position where we aren't necessarily losing anybody to injury. Sven Botman, as we are alluded to by Eddie Howe, was rested against Blackburn on Tuesday night, so we can totally expect him to come back into the starting lineup on Saturday. We haven't got, like I say, we haven't got any new additions to the list, so you've still got your long-term injuries there. You've got your Joe Lintons who are out and the like, and obviously now we've got Emil Kraft who's now back in the fold completely. Joe Willock is getting ever so close to being able to get more than an hour out of in these games. This is again another step on his road to recovery on Saturday. And the surprising inclusion on Tuesday night down at Ewood Park was that of Elliot Anderson.
Oh man, it was so nice, wasn't it?
And as much as he came on right at the end and he didn't really have a touch of the ball until he had his penalty, again, it just gives that extra bit of confidence to the reinforcements that we'll now have in the middle of the pitch. And to be honest, it's one thing that we're desperate in need of, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on, Nickel. Do you want to take this one?
I was just going to say it was good to look at our bench on Tuesday night and see some sort of first-team regulars in there, you know, the ones that can rotate and do a similar job as what the starting 11 can do. So, yeah, it's really good to be getting these players back, and hopefully Eddie can do some more rotating now.
Yeah. I mean, I think because Eddie Howard said they brought Anderson along basically thinking, well, we'll use him if we have to, like give him 10 minutes if we have to. And it shows a lot of courage and a lot of balls from Eddie Howard to turn around and say, I'm going to put you on for the last 5 minutes for a penalty. I get it completely. You know, you don't want to put that much weight on Miley shoulders, who's like 17 years old. Like, that's a lot. But
yeah.
It goes for Anderson, who's been out of the fold for, I mean, when did he get injured? It was before the Champions League games, I'm sure. So I don't think he even had a Champions League campaign, unfortunately. So he's been out for a long time, and for his first few kicks of a ball would be to, you know, help send us through the FA Cup.
Yeah,
he's got that sharpness. Oh, 100%. But, you know, when you look at the likes of the midfield, I think one of the big what criticisms, if you like, is that the three that we've been playing for a while, Bruno, Miley, and Longstaff, whilst they all have the good individual traits, they aren't quite gelling as a midfield three in that system. But you throw the likes of a Willick in, who is driving at the ball, who's that, you know, really direct player and has some quality finishing him as well. Obviously, we saw against Arsenal, and you know what Willick's like. But yeah, you have him, and then you have like Anderson too, who, you know, although, you know, he's not been obviously like a prolific goal scorer for us, I think, has he got one for us? Or
Yeah, I think he's got one.
Yeah, but still, he still poses a massive attacking threat, and I don't think that we've actually seen the better. Much like Tonali, actually, if obviously for different reasons we've not seen them, but much like Tonali, I think we're seeing hopefully almost a completely different player to what we saw last season. He was good last season, don't get me wrong, but he's bulked up a lot. I think that time under his belt and Eddie Howe, hopefully we can see more of an attacking threat for him and get that difference in midfield that we've been so desperately after since Joe Linton got injured.
Yeah. I was going to say, with getting these sort of more attack-minded midfielders back, maybe the likes of your Longstaff, Miley and Bruno will hold back a bit more, because obviously an issue we've had is that massive gaping hole between defence and midfield.
Yeah. Aye.
Hopefully, if we get some attacking midfielders back, obviously Bruno can maybe sit a bit more and let them go and do their thing. Although he is brilliant at getting forward as well. So
yeah,
might be a case of Longstaff or Miley having to do that, whoever plays.
Yeah, and we've seen in recent games where Eddie's used Miley as the sitter out of the three. And again, mm-hmm, it's going to come down to the discipline of the midfield as well. Notice straight away from the start on Tuesday night that Kieran Trippier, much like he did in the early stages down at Nottingham Forest, stepped out from right back and slotted in alongside Miley in the deep line. No, sorry, not Miley. With Bruno or Longstaff at times in that deep lion role, and it left us with a back three, which is another reason why Eddie Howe has preferred to play Dan Burn, much to the annoyance of a few people in the fan base. But again, because it allows us to exploit the system in a way. It's always been something that Eddie has said, it's that he plays Dan Burn because it allows him to develop the system. And it's not necessarily a favouritism thing, it's more of a tactical decision. And again, we saw that early doors against Blackburn. So it'll be interesting to see if we try and adapt that and use that again against Wolves, especially if it's going to be a midfield battle that wins us the game, then it's going to be down to that little bit of a tactical.
I'd like to pose a question here, though. I'd like to pose a question that if Tino doesn't start at left back, can we put the Arsenal game down as just a failed experiment? Because it's quite easy to look at what happened and say he bowed to peer pressure, but I don't think Howe pays enough attention to that, to the outside sort of noises, to warrant that. I'm not saying it was, you know, necessarily not, he might have bowed a little bit, but I genuinely think that he would have played Tino because in that Arsenal game, because he thought it was the right thing to do. Yeah, and obviously we conceded four and it wasn't great, but is there a chance that, you know, we see Tino start on Saturday? Because obviously he played it on the weekend. You got Burn playing midweek. It might make sense then to rotate back to Tino and try him against a side that isn't going to press us into our final third, fingers crossed, by the way, for 90 minutes of the game. So it'll be interesting, because if he doesn't do that and he keeps back to Burn, it's just, you know, look back at that Arsenal game and think, well, what were you doing there?
I think Dan Burn obviously played the full 120 minutes, didn't he, as well on Tuesday? I know we've had a bit of a gap, but Tino, he come on for like half an hour, wasn't it? Did he play the extra time?
Yes, he does.
So that might come into it, but I think, to be honest, I don't think Eddie's on Twitter every night looking at what everyone's saying. So I think it'll just be a tactical decision more. We know what he's like. He's very meticulous in how he picks his teams. We'll have to back whatever decision he goes with. But I think maybe Tino's got a chance because of Neto being their danger man.
Yeah. It's a very important thing that we've mentioned there as well about it being the fact that we played through 120 minutes of the game on Tuesday and then a penalty shootout. So that old friend of ours from back in December, Fatigue, is making a little bit of a reoccurrence from over the shoulder there.
But Wolves did play on the Wednesday,
The schedule's nowhere near as bad as it was in December. But again, it's going to come down to, certainly I think, like Nicol said, in the case of Dan Burn, I think that could well, you know, make the decision to start Tino at left back would be because of that. And again, you know, Joe Willock came off fairly early in the game, so he's a contender to start again against Wolves on Saturday. Miguel Almirón came on as a sub, so he's a potential starter.
He was brilliant, by the way, on Tuesday when he came on.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's so fast.
Yeah, it was obviously a predetermined thing to do 60 minutes in Isak and Willock, wasn't it? Because they came
off. Yeah.
I think one of the things that Miggy really sort of excelled with on Tuesday was the fact that he was able to cut inside quite early on. As in, what I mean by that is, as soon as he got in their half, there were times where he was able to cut inside and he wasn't really challenged. So he was able to just drive into the middle of the park, pretty much get central, and then either get a shot off or, you know, or pass it along. He's not going to get the same luxury, against a Premier League side, but no, he was fantastic. Like, and he definitely warrants starting on Saturday.
Yeah, he changed the game a bit on Tuesday, I thought, really. He came on with like a bit of a point to prove, it felt like, the way he came.
Yeah.
So
before we get into the old bread and butter of mine that is Ref Watch, we're going to just quickly talk about a potential lineup on Saturday. So I think we can all agree that it'll be Dubravka back in between the sticks at the back. Right. We've already discussed that the hot topic of the defence is probably going to be Dan Burn or no Dan Burn. Trippier at right back, Fabian Scher back in alongside his usual partner, Sven Botman. And then obviously we've mentioned that clinch point already. Is it Dan Burn or is it Tino? For me, you know, given the 120 minutes on Tuesday night, for me, I think it might actually be Tino. I think he might actually start Tino like he did against Arsenal.
I agree.
The midfield three, we now don't have to say Will Pick itself because it doesn't. We now have the potential of Joe Willock being available to start the game, which I think is going to be what happens, in my opinion. I think he will start the game. So again, is it going to be which of the two out of Miley and Longstaff does he play instead of is the question, because you've got no doubt that Bruno would start.
Yeah, I think it would be Longstaff again, but I'm not sure.
I think so, yeah.
I'm not sure that he wasn't very good on Tuesday night. None of them were amazing, but
no,
Bruno was probably the best midfielder on Tuesday.
He did the role of three men on Tuesday.
Longstaff wasn't great on Tuesday night, but I still think it would be him in the middle.
The one thing I saw coming out of the game on Tuesday was, and it was a really, really, really good comment about Bruno, was press resistance. And Blackburn really struggled to get the ball off him. They put him under pressure and he still kept possession, or he was able to pass it off to somebody else without losing the ball.
He was head and shoulders above. You could see the quality he has is like... They were coming to him and he was just putting an arm there and going,
There must have been three or four times where I thought to myself, just pass the ball, release, release, release. And he was just holding on, but then ended up working out. I swear he ended up getting like on the deck about two or three times and he still kept the ball. So he's unreal, man. Yeah. I love him.
Given how loose some of the midfield and also the defence were with the ball, like they were quite loose with their passing. Some of the passing was really badly off on Saturday. And again, another thing that we were guilty of was just not moving the ball quick enough. And again, did you attribute that to Bruno holding on to it for too long? Well, as you said, Joe, it worked out in the end that he did that. And then if we go out of midfield, we've got to think about the front three now. Gordon played the full lot on Tuesday. He went through the entire game. So is he going to be... I mean, he got a goal, so he's probably going to be wanting to... Ooh. You know, he'd be gunning to play on Saturday.
He'll play again. He'll play again. He's already wrapped up appearances. He'll play again. Yeah.
The thing is, right, I'd probably bet on him starting, but at the same time, 120 minutes... And you had to play a mix of wing and up front as well.
Yeah.
You've got Barnes, you've got Miggy, who didn't play too much, and you've got Isak. That front three is still decent, and I wouldn't be surprised if he thinks, you know what, Gordon, you've basically played like 10 years worth of football in the last few months. You can come on after 60 minutes, but maybe, you know, seeing how the game goes, I wouldn't be surprised if he feels that Barnes is now fit enough in Willock. Willock might stop, but Barnes, Almirón and then Isak are fit enough to play at least the first sort of 60, 65 minutes as a front three. And actually, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad experiment to do, because we're not really seeing too much of that. You've got Miggy, who's a bit more of an inverted winger. Barnes on the left, who's a bit more direct and can put a cross in. see what happens. I mean, I
don't know what you two thought of Barnes on Tuesday, but he looked a bit hesitant.
He did.
I don't know if it's maybe something with his injury in his head. He's not, but he just seemed to be like stopping, getting to a point, then stopping, and then passing it sideways. And instead of, he normally goes for 1-2s. Really, that's his game, isn't it, to get in the box?
I don't think he had that support in midfield though. A lot of the time.
No, he had.
Or making the runs to help him.
When he first came on, he was relying on Dan Burn to be that one to pin the 1-2 off, and it just wasn't happening because he wasn't really getting fed much at all. And again, like you say, he didn't really have that man coming over from the midfield to give him that extra little bit of support to do
he's
the
still
1-2.
A massive player for us, though, isn't he?
So. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we can see we see that he scores goals. He's got goals in him because he's already done it a couple of times this season already, either side of this injury day off as well. So there you go. That's our. We sort of stumbled our way through getting an 11 out there. You can leave a comment and let us know if you agree or you don't. And what would you do? How would you line up against Wolverhampton Wanderers on Saturday? Please let us know. And as we do that, we'll move on to my bread and butter on this one. It's ref watch. So the referee for this game was appointed, or it was announced on Tuesday as we were going down to Blackburn. And referee for this one will be Tim Robinson. And it's his third game of this season involving Newcastle United. This is following on from the 4-0 win at home to Crystal Palace and the very sad 3-0 defeat at Everton, which I know Joe was at.
Oh, bloody hell. You just had to remind me of that, didn't you?
Well, you know.
What are we going to do? Can't win them all.
That's it. A couple of interesting things to notice about Mr. Robinson himself is his first ever Premier League game was a Newcastle United game. Unfortunately for us, we lost that 1-0 at Burnley. That was way back in December 2019. That would have been, I think I might have been at that one, and it would have been on a Monday night in the cold in Burnley, in the wet.
Lovely.
As standard for Burnley
weather.
See
the trauma in your eyes, mate.
Oh, honestly. And another thing that I found was, I'm going to take it all the way back to the other time that Wolves won St James's Park. Back in the Championship in 2016. And the referee in that game was Tim Robinson. And why have I picked that game out in particular? It's not because it was the only other time Wolves have won at St James's Park. It's because it's... How do I do this without causing uproar?
Just say it.
It's the Couscous Nonce episode with John Joe Shelby.
Oh, my God.
That was the game. It was that game when all that kicked off with, who was it he called again? I'm trying to think who he was referring to at the time. But anyway, yeah, so that's the other thing that I found when I was looking up this man. Anyway, so his Premier League record for the season, he's had 16 games so far. That's joint third most games out of, I think, the top five officials, I think, have all played a minimum of 16. So he's in there. No red cards so far this season. However, when you think about this one, 16 games, 75 yellow cards in 16 games. 75 yellow cards.
Have you already done the quick maths here?
I think it averages somewhere around about four, a minimum of
that is 4.69. Okay, Bruno, you better.
Bruno's not allowed to have
yeah.
Oh no. I swear, every time someone asks, oh, how many games has Bruno got before this thing lifts? I swear every single week for the past 2 months, I've heard, oh, he's got 8 games left.
Yeah.
It's never going to end, is it?
It's still like never 8 games end. Or something, isn't it? But yeah, so that's our man in the middle on Saturday. That's Tim Robinson.
Any
sort of unfortunate circumstance where he can't take up his position. I don't really know who the fourth official is, so we'll find out who that is on Saturday. Right, so I think it's probably time that we got ourselves some predictions in place, eh? Okay. I'm hosting, so I don't have to go first this time. Nickel, how are you? Let's have your prediction for Saturday.
Right. Carrying on from Joe's positivity about Man City away in the Cup, we're going. I'm going to go. We're going to win this one 3-1.
Do you want to give us a goal scorer? Or three?
Yes. I'll give you. I think with it being a long time since we've won at home, I think Eddie and the lads will know that this is a big game, and I wouldn't say there's pressure on them, but there's little bubblings of some frustration. There definitely wasn't the away end on Tuesday, so hopefully they come out the traps fast and goal scorers. Isak will get two. And I think Joe Willock will get one.
That'd be nice. That'd be lovely.
And then for them, I'm going to go a random one. Mario Lemina to get their goal.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. Joe?
Same, absolutely same. Yeah, I was going to say something different just to be, you know, just so I'm not completely repeating myself. But I was going to say something like 3-2, but seeing the disparity in the two goal scorers, like how much they've got compared to the rest, and they're both out, you struggle to see where Wolves are really going to get those finishes from. Huang has been great against us, and it's a blessing from a tactical point of view that he's not going to be playing against us. So I think that, you know, they might get one. Obviously, you know, like we say, we can see him for fun. But yeah, I think 3-1. And, you know, we have a lot of attacking players coming back and getting fit. So I'm going to say, Miggy gets two. I'm going to say Miggy gets two.
Oh,
because, okay. I'll tell you why. It's because I've been watching some of the highlights of some of their games recently, and their left centre back, Totti Gomez, he's rapid, he's good, and he recovers quite well, but he does lose his man quite a bit, and he can be like quite slow on the turn. But when he gets going, he's got some pace. But I think Miggy could thrive on that if we're good about it and we're quick. So I reckon Miggy gets two, and Barnes will get one. So,
very good.
Away the lads, let's do it. Let's get back to winning ways.
Well, I'm going to be ever so slightly more reserved. And you know what it is, up until this afternoon when we were having a discussion and we found out who was injured for Wolves, I actually thought it was going to be a 1-1. However, we're going to go positive. I'm going to say 2-1 to Newcastle. As you boys have both said, it's nailed on that we'll concede a goal because we're just not solid at the back at the moment. So I think that probably Neto will get one for Wolves. And for us, I'm going to say, I'd say Alexander Isak to get one. And second one, Joe Willock to get on the score sheet as well. Beautiful. Be nice to see him get back on the scoring path as well. It'd be great to see. Right then, I think that's probably about it. Has anybody got anything else to add before we wrap up?
I just think that we look at the rest of the season going forward, and I think when we got Man City away in the cup, everyone's like, season's over, just can it now. Even I said it in the chat at one point jokingly, but you know, I think there's still so much to play for, and this mini league that you've been talking about, it keeps things interesting. We're still very much in the hunt for even top six is still possible. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, what is it now? Seven points to Man United. And to be fair, they do show some form. So I think sixth is probably a bit of a stretch at this point. But you look at Brighton, you look at West Ham, obviously Wolves, Chelsea. I am surprised that Chelsea are still below us, but it shows that, you know, they're still quite patchy. We have very much got top seven in our hands if we choose. And with the players coming back, the options that we've now got, both in midfield as well as up front, what a hell of a chance. And, you know, FA Cup as well. Magic of the Cup, anything can happen. Let's get the pause nine going in the away end.
Yeah,
you know, who knows? We'll see. Roll it.
Well, you know, you just mentioned it there. You know, we've got this one against Wolves now, and then we've got the one against Chelsea. We really do have to... I don't want to put unnecessary pressure on it, but we do really need to be winning these games against the teams around us, just to give ourselves that advantage and some distance as well. I mean, you imagine if we go into next week against Chelsea, instead of maybe being a point behind them, worst case scenario, or level on points with them at that stage, to being 5 points ahead of them. You know, it's a huge difference at this stage of the season. And you know that I think we can all agree that there's definitely a few more twists and turns to come before we get to the end of the season in May. But for me, we just got to keep on pushing. The season isn't over, regardless of what happens. If we go out of the FA Cup, it's not season over because we still have that European place to fight for. We're still in the mix. We've still got to play all of the teams that are in this little mini group before the season finishes. You know, we've got Wolves, Chelsea, and then the one after that, because of the FA Cup rearrangement, is West Ham. So the next three games in the Premier League are all against these teams that are in and around us. So it's very important that we can start picking up these points. And with that, I think it's time we cracked on and we let people go and enjoy the build-up for the match. And
become a member.
Of course, yes. How can I forget?
Become a member. Get in the Telegram group. Get your membership sorted, right? That's for a start. Get in the Telegram group. This is great crack. Yeah, we've got loads of stuff going on. I mean, we've got like members-only videos. Obviously, like I say, the Telegram group. And so if you get early access, you get all this stuff. So if you love listening to us chat a bunch of crap, then... please subscribe. And
how much is that going to cost for Joe?
Literally $2.99 a month, Daryl. I'm glad you asked.
Hey, good it's value, isn't it?
Pennies.
Great value. And let's not also forget, if you want to like and subscribe, you can like the video downstairs there. There's a little notification bell as well, so you can get all the notifications when we go live. And subscribe to the channel, get all those likes, and get us into the feeds of other Newcastle fans and also into Wolverhampton fans. If there's any Wolverhampton fans watching this one,
why share it
please
with
you, let us know. Please let us know if we missed anything. Is there anything else we should have been thinking about when we've, you know, been talking about your team? We'd love to hear it all the time. Any sort of feedback we can get is always taken on board. I think people who maybe have watched the Arsenal preview and then watched this one might be happy that it has sort of changed a little bit. We'll see. But and we'll see you all for the next one. I'm sure there'll be a live reaction going on at some point from the game at the weekend. And then the lads will be back on Monday night with the Always Smiling Faces podcast as well. And from me, from Joe, and from Nickel, we shall see you in the next one. See you later.
Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.